This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
71 degrees and partly cloudy right now in Chapel Hill Carborough, 70 degrees in Hillsborough. Nice weather out there, but it is foggy, so if you're heading out on the roads, be careful of that. It's going to be in the upper 80s today with a slight chance of rain later in the day. Generally dry, though. Going to be a much nicer day today than yesterday. 7:06 is the time here at WCHL. I am not Ron Stutz. I'm Aaron Keck, filling in for Ron this week. He'll be back in this chair next week, Monday. Coming up this hour, we'll hear from some of the candidates who have put their names in to be considered for appointment to the seat left vacant earlier this week by departing State Senator Ellie Kinnaird. We'll hear from Alice Bordson, we'll hear from Mark Chilton, and we'll hear from Valerie Fouché. We'll also hear from the departing senator herself, Ellie Kinnaird, later on this hour. Before we get to that, though, last night was the final meeting of the Rogers Road Task Force in Chapel Hill Carborough, Orange County. The plan was to have a final draft of recommendations in place for providing sewer services to the neighborhood, but there was a snag. The group had to deal with a looming Environmental Protection Agency investigation into claims of racial discrimination by the Orange County Planning Department towards the neighborhood. County Commissioners Renee Price and Penny Rich said last month that the county attorney ordered that they not vote on any final decisions, though the EPA had said the county can move forward. We've got Michelle Johnson, Carborough Alderman, who's been following the Rogers Road Task Force and working with them closely for months now, on the phone with us, joining us from last night's meeting. Michelle, first of all, thank you for joining us. Second of all, happy birthday yesterday. And what took place last night and what was decided?
Well, we finalized some recommendations that we started to talk about in the previous meeting. We basically came up with some recommendations focused on different timelines for the two different plans for sewer. One would be a sewer program that would take care of the whole historic neighborhood, and then the other would be a smaller portion of the neighborhood. It really depends on how much the county allocates and how much Chapel Hill allocates, because Carborough, as you know, is the only municipality that's voted on an allocation and included it in our budget. And then we also included a recommendation about funding for the hookups from the meter to the home, because there's some issues with using federal dollars for the hookups from the meter to the home. We don't want to put in sewer in the ground and then have people not be able to afford to connect to it. And, of course, the community doesn't want that either. But if we use federal dollars and get grants, then it's income-based. And certainly some folks in Rogers Road would qualify based on income, but some wouldn't. And so we made some recommendations and encouraged our attorneys and managers to figure out how we might pay for the hookup from the meter to the home once the sewer is in the ground, if it actually happens this time. And previously we had already finalized some recommendations focused on the community center, which should be being built, or the ground should be breaking soon for the community center. So overall, it was a productive meeting, and the county was able to vote on some of the recommendations. The county representatives in our task force were able to vote on their recommendations with us yesterday, even though the EPA investigation is not resolved. It's still ongoing.
What is your sense, based on what you heard and what transpired last night in previous meetings, as to what the county is going to be able to do, or what you expect them to do going forward?
Well, there's a differing opinion. The Civil Rights Center at UNC feels like the county could make some decisions around an allocation for sewer, because the dispute with the EPA investigation has to do with sewer. And the county feels like they can't make an allocation or make a decision around funding for this while the investigation is going on. So that, I'm not sure what the county will do. I do know that on September 17th, they are going to discuss the Rogers Road Task Force report. So we'll know more then, and that Carborough and Chapel Hill will discuss the report, so that on November 21st, the Assembly of Governments, we can all talk about the what happened in the task force and hopefully take some action that evening. But I'm not sure. I mean, I don't have a good sense of if the county is going to vote on making an allocation or if they're just going to talk about a report and not move forward until the Assembly of Governments meeting in November. I can't tell.
So there are still two plans on the table for sewer coverage, one of them the more extensive plan, the other one the less extensive plan. This was very close to being decided not that long ago, and then it was sort of up in the air again. How frustrating has this process been?
It has been, I think it's been frustrating for me because it's taken a while to make some decisions. And I think to get everyone around the table on the same page, I'm not sure that we are on the same page now even, but we did vote on these recommendations yesterday and are moving forward. You know, and it, of course, I'm saying it's frustrating for me, and then I think about the people who lived at Rogers Road for ever, and must be, you know, they must be way more frustrated than I am with this. And sometimes it's been really challenging because there are two representatives at the table from Rogers Road and who sat around many tables before and many task forces before to talk about having sewer in their community, and then nothing's happened. So I'm not sure how hopeful they are about this process, even though we've come up with recommendations. Apparently we've gotten farther than any other task force has in the past. I'm not sure that they believe that something's going to happen. And I'm not sure they really should, because they've been in this process before. So that's sort of disheartening and sad, and the process is frustrating too.
So what's the next step? And I got the Assembly of Government meeting on November 21st. That's still a couple of months away. So what is going to happen, if anything, between now and then?
Well, the report will be finalized by all the task force members. So we came up with what's close to a final report last night, and then it'll be sent to the county commissioners and the municipalities, the governing bodies, to discuss. We could probably add to the report then. It'll be sent to Rena, the two reps who were sitting at the table from the Rogers Road community, and discussed. And then hopefully the other part of this process is that Chapel Hill, one of the recommendations is that they move forward with initiating an ETJ process so that they could contribute equally to the sewer improvements and sewer infrastructure. And so they're moving forward with that process, and it requires a resolution from the county and requires Chapel Hill to have a public hearing. And I assume they'll do that before the Assembly of Governments meeting if things move forward. Carborough will discuss the report. Chapel Hill will discuss the report. The county will. And then hopefully we'll have a clearer sense of what people are willing to commit to before the Assembly of Governments meeting.
Speaking with Michelle Johnson, and Carborough Alderman has been with the Rogers Road Task Force since its beginning. Last meeting was last night, and obviously still a lot more to say about that. Before I let you go, though, Michelle, I want to switch gears really, really quickly, since we've been talking about all of the candidates who put their names in for Ellie Kinnaird's seat in the state Senate. I was wondering if you had an endorsement.
Well,
not to put you on the spot or anything, but...
Yeah, not at all. I just say that I feel confident that he'll be a really good qualified representative in that seat. I'm not going to say much more than that right now. I'm excited that Valerie has put her name in, and also that Mark has. And I know Valerie mentioned that I was supporting her, and then Mark put his name in. So I think I respect them both, and we'll see what happens.
All right, Michelle Johnson, thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck in the next couple of months with the task force.
Thank you.
All right, again, that was Michelle Johnson, Carborough Board of Aldermen. Again, Carborough has voted on allocations for that sewer plan. Chapel Hill and Orange County still have yet to. Still that EPA investigation getting in the way of Orange County. We will have more to say on that later on this hour. We'll hear from Assistant County Manager Michael Talbert during the second half of our hour. We do still have a lot more to cover, particularly regarding the race now, a four-person race to succeed Ellie Kinnaird in the state Senate. Michelle Johnson speaking about that briefly in the last couple of minutes. We'll hear from some of the candidates who have officially put their names in later on this hour as well. 7:16 is the time here at WCHL Studios. We're going to move forward right now with a quick look at traffic and weather together. First of all, this one brought to you by the Carolina Inns, Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar. Savor delectable cuisine prepared with fresh local ingredients, created by executive chef James Clark and his talented culinary team. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. If you're heading out on the roads right now, it is foggy out there, but as of last hour, not really much in the way of traffic issues. Joining us now in the studio with the update is Rachel Nash.
Good morning. Good news. As you just said, no accidents to report at this time. Everything moving smoothly on 15501 NC54 and I-40. But if you do see anything throughout your morning commute, you can call me in the newsroom at 919-967-8363. Or you can tweet us at WCHL and be a WCHL road warrior. But if you do so, we ask that you do it safely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Moving right along to our weather report. This one brought to you by Grimble Jewelers. Whether you need a new watch battery, an engagement ring, or that custom piece you've been dreaming of, Grimble Jewelers is there for you. Chapel Hill's premier full-service jewelers in the Village Plaza next to Whole Foods. Right now, 71 degrees is the temperature in Chapel Hill Carborough, 70 degrees in Hillsboro. It is partly cloudy out there. No rain on the radar, but there is some fog, so be careful again if you are driving. Partly sunny skies today with highs in the upper 80s. Back to the hot weather. We've got a slight chance of rain later on today. Overnight lows down in the upper 60s tonight. And then we'll end the week tomorrow with weather that's pretty similar. Partly sunny skies all day. Slight chance of a late afternoon rain, but otherwise it doesn't look like we'll get any precipitation in the area tomorrow either. Highs will be around 90. Overnight lows down in the mid-60s. Chance of rain will continue into Saturday morning, and then we've got several days of beautiful weather from there on out. Saturday and Sunday, we're looking at partly to mostly sunny skies, highs in the lower 80s, so a beautiful weekend, and that's going to be the story for your weather on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday as well. Turning back now to local news, of course, our top story all week long has been the resignation of State Senator Ellie Kinnaird from her seat on the State Senate representing District 23, Orange and Chatham counties. That seat, now vacant, will be filled by appointment. A four-person committee is set to decide who is going to take over for Senator Kinnaird. So far, four people have announced their intentions to have announced their desire to be considered for the seat. State Representative Valerie Fouché, currently a member of the State House representing Orange and Durham County in District 50. Carborough Mayor Mark Chilton, who is soon to be outgoing Mayor Mark Chilton, he is stepping down from his current seat after four terms at the end of this year, and he has put his name in to be considered for the appointment. Also, former State Representative Alice Boardson, who served on the State House representing Eastern Alamance County for 10 years until stepping down due to redistricting in January of 2013. Most recently, Amy Tiemann, a nationally known author with a PhD in neurosciences who writes on parenting and child safety, among other things, and has been active in Moral Monday protests. She put her name in to be considered yesterday as well. WCHL's Rand Northam spoke yesterday with Valerie Fouché. We'll hear from several of the candidates throughout the hour. We'll begin with Valerie Fouché. Again, she currently represents Orange and Durham County in the State House, but she does have quite a resume. Former Orange County Commissioner from 2004 to 2012. Before that, she was a member of the Chapel Hill Carborough City School Board. Here is part one of Rand Northam's interview with Valerie Fouché.
First, let me just say that we are all grateful to former Senator Kinnaird for her service. The opportunity to serve the whole of Orange County is very appealing to me, and Chatham County as well. I think you all know that I have roots of having been born and raised in Orange County, but my service, 8 years as a commissioner for the whole of Orange County, was something that I certainly enjoyed, and where I have enjoyed serving District 50, I think Senate District 23 is a good fit for me.
Speaking of the history in Orange County, a Chapel Hill High School graduate, a graduate of UNC with a Bachelor's of Arts in Political Science and African and Afro-American Studies, a member of the Chapel Hill Police Department for 21 years of service. Also on the Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools Board from 1997 to 2004, chair of that board from 2001 to 2003, also chair of the Orange County Board of Commissioners. So what have you learned in your years of service in Orange County and that you can continue on to help out with Orange County here on the Senate?
Well, I think Orange County is a great place to be. It certainly is a progressive place. I think we hold values that resonate not just across North Carolina, but our country right now. We care for people. We believe in providing the necessary services, and we believe in taking care of people, and that's where I want to remain, and that's what I want to continue to do.
We're speaking with State Representative of District 50, Orange and Durham Counties, Valerie Fouché, who is seeking the Senate seat for District 23. What's your immediate goal? What do you want to see if you were to get the seat that would that you would want to accomplish first?
Well, I think along with some of the things former Senator Kinnaird said, you know, we really need to make sure that every eligible voter in North Carolina is able to vote. We need to make sure that there is access to the ballot box. We need to make sure that North Carolina remains a beacon. And that means that we need to get back to our values as they relate to education in particular, to continue to cut education and not provide what our students need to be ready for 21st century jobs. It does not make a whole lot of sense to me. I don't think it makes a lot of sense to a lot of people. And so those are things that we need to get on immediately. We can no longer expect to be able to recruit great businesses if we don't have great schools. We're not going to have great schools if we don't value our teachers who provide great education to our children. Those things we have to get back to, and we have to get back to them quickly because we are very quickly tearing them down.
Valerie Fouché, currently a member of the State House, has put her name in for State Senate to replace Ellie Kinnaird, who stepped down on Monday. That was part one of her conversation with Rand Northam yesterday. Later on this hour, we'll hear from some of the other candidates. We'll hear more from Valerie Fouché later on during the WCHL Thursday morning news. Right now, we're going to move forward with WCHL Championship Sports, presented this hour by UNC Healthcare. Tar Heels were forced to take cover in the Eddie Smith Fieldhouse for part of yesterday's football practice because it was kind of raining in the area, but the session ended outdoors and the weather didn't dampen their spirits. Senior safety Trey Boston spoke with the media yesterday, saying he's happy his defense is being underrated. He's been under the radar in preseason coverage, and he's fine with that. He remains confident in his teammates' abilities to get pressure and cause some problems for opposing offenses. Boston was named preseason All-ACC and was named to various award watch lists. He says he appreciated that, but at the end of the day, his focus remains with the team and achieving success with his teammates by playing his absolute best. That's what he said yesterday. Here are more of his comments.
But at the end of the day, you still got to play ball. I come out here and my teammates know that I can care less about that. It's one of those things that I know. At the end of the day, I got to come out here and play my best because that's preseason. I mean, at the end, I want to be All-American. It's nothing that preseason can help you at the end of the season. So I definitely want to come out here and play my game every game and show my boys that this is my last season. I'm going to go out with a bang.
We are 1 week away from the start of Tar Heel football. Thursday, August 29th, the Tar Heels head down to Columbia to take on the South Carolina Gamecocks. So it is crunch time in practice. Boston says Coach Fedora has emphasized consistency and learning from past mistakes going into this season.
It's one of those things where we just got to put four quarters together. Last year, you seen us a lot coming in first half or a lot in the second half. But we just got to be able to put four quarters together. And I think Fedora emphasizes that every day with us. We're a great team, and I think last year helped us. Going 8-5, and people saying, oh, you couldn't even do that. And it's one of those things going into this year, we know we're going to have a successful year, and it's all about us and how we stay confident and make sure that we stay consistent.
Trey Boston had a lot to say yesterday. You can read this story, get more comments from him, and follow all the latest on Tar Heel football on our website, chapelboro.com. 7:25 is the time. Still a lot to get through this hour, so we're going to move forward right now with
our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
The 2014 SEC football schedule is out before this coming ACC basketball slate is. Huh? This is Art Chansky with Thursday Sports Notebook. Did you notice that as the new football season is getting ready to kick off next week, the Southeastern Conference has released its schedule for next year? How come? Isn't there enough hoopla surrounding SEC football 2013? One would think so, but there it was on the ESPN.com homepage, a story and talking heads going on about next year's football schedule that opens with Texas A&M at South Carolina in another Thursday night game, just like UNC going down to Columbia a week from tonight. What's the SEC's big hurry anyway? And could something happen between now and then, like Johnny Football's fate, that could cause them to want to change that schedule? No, the SEC is bigger than any one of its players, and they want to get in the TV queue and make sure they'll be there in prime time on Saturday night with a 90,000-seat stadium full and rocking and also swinging from 48 hours of tailgating outside. Doesn't matter whether it's Knoxville, Athens, Tuscaloosa, or Gainesville. SEC football on Saturday is the 90,000-seat gorilla that everyone wants to see. HGTV is not keeping those good old boys and gals home, not on your life. So all this begs another question. Why does it take the ACC so long to come out with its new basketball schedule? Sure, we've gotten it in piecemeal. Early season tournaments here, ACC Big Ten Challenge there, two ESPN game days. But does Syracuse and Pittsburgh coming in really make it so hard? After all, they already went to 18 conference games last year, and there's no round robin anymore. I bet the 2014 Major League Baseball schedule, 162 games times 30 teams, is either out or sitting there ready to be released. I understand that TV also dictates ACC basketball, which networks get to bid on which windows. But I also know that ESPN also owns all of the ACC rights and must sell off the biggest games to CBS on Saturday and Sunday afternoon. So what's the big deal? After all, we know that Duke and Carolina played their first game following the Super Bowl in February, usually on Wednesday night. And they play their second game on the last weekend of the regular season. Does anything else really matter? Is the SEC that much smarter than the ACC? They're not supposed to be. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill is breaking records this month with the Performance 400. I'm Gerald Lemoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall. Never before have we sold 400 cars in 1 month, but we got very close last month. And this month, we want to blow that threshold away.
I want performance.
This month is your month to save huge money on great deals. We sell Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, Subaru, and Hendrick certified used vehicles. Follow our progress on Facebook and Twitter. If we sell 400 cars this month, every person who bought this month will be automatically entered into a drawing for a free weekend escape to Asheville or Wilmington and the use of a vehicle to enjoy for the weekend. Wow!
I want performance.
The Performance 400, your opportunity to save, your opportunity to win. Visit our virtual showroom at performanceautomall.com where sales and service specials abound.
I want performance.
And remember, the wow is our promise. Best people, best service, best value, always. Performance Auto Mall is a Hendrick team member.
Hey, Carolina, did you miss us? The Daily Tar Heel is back in action after summer break. The UNC Chapel Hill community's only local daily newspaper is on the streets with Monday through Friday publication. Pick one up at one of 220 locations on campus or throughout Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Hillsboro. Need to find the location most convenient to you? Visit us at DailyTarHeel.com and click on the Find a Paper link. Have a tip or story idea? Send an email to DTH@DailyTarHeel.com. See you in class.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Bella Spa. It's over half off, $195 for a body wrap and facial, available now for $89. Bella Spa wants you to come relax, renew, and rejuvenate in the area's newest spa off Fordham Boulevard. You'll receive a body wrap treatment that stimulates your body's ability to break down fat, increase metabolism, and help eliminate water retention using natural ingredients. It's over half off from Bella Spa. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
More on the Rogers Road Task Force meeting last night coming up in the second half of our hour, plus more on the race to succeed. Ellie Kinnaird, keep it tuned to us for that right now. One more quick look at your weather report. This one brought to you by Five Guys Burgers and Fries. Burgers not your thing? Enjoy Five Guys grilled kosher beef hot dogs instead. Dressed with any or all of 15 free toppings. Five Guys in Menomont Village. 69 degrees right now in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Hillsboro. Partly cloudy, but there is fog out there, so be careful if you're driving around. Partly sunny skies today with highs getting up into the upper 80s. Slight chance of rain later on in the day. It looks like we'll stay pretty dry, though, for the most part. Overnight lows tonight down in the upper 60s with a 20% chance of rain continuing overnight and a 30% chance of rain tomorrow afternoon to end the week. Otherwise, partly sunny skies all day with highs around 90. Beautiful weekend in store as well.
If it's happening in our Chapel Hill Carborough community, you will hear about it on 97.9 FM, WCHL, and you'll find it on our website, chapelborough.com.
News update, I'm Peter King. There's apparently a deal between the city of San Diego and embattled Mayor Bob Filner. But whether it includes leaving office, we can't say. Neither can City Attorney Jan Goldsmith.
Our process at City Hall, as well as the mediation process, requires that we maintain the confidentiality of the proposal until they have heard of it.
Goldsmith says that deal will be announced publicly tomorrow. CBS's Steve Futterman.
This deal comes after 3 days of mediation before a retired federal judge, and it comes just hours after the 18th accuser came forward to accuse Mayor Filner of inappropriate sexual conduct.
Well, that woman is Diane York, who says Filner inappropriately touched her after a meeting earlier this year.
Unbeknownst to me, when we posed for the photo, there was a hand that went to my back, to my buttocks.
CBS News Update, I'm Peter King.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
You're listening to 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, back to the WCHL Morning News with Ron Stutz.
7:32 is the time. 69 degrees is the temperature in Chapel Hill, Carborough. Foggy out there again in parts of the area, so be careful if you're on the roads driving. I'm Aaron Keck filling in for Ron Stutz today, as I have been for the last couple of weeks. Ron will be back in this chair on Monday. Good to be with you this morning. Our top story, of course, as it has been all week long, has been the race to succeed Ellie Kinnaird, who announced on Monday that she's stepping down after 17 years of service in the state Senate representing District 23. Her replacement will be selected by a committee of four Democrats, two from Orange and two from Chatham counties. They will send a name to Pat McCrory, the governor, and he will officially confirm it later on. We've already heard from one of the four candidates, Valerie Fouché. We now hear from one of the other three candidates, Carborough Mayor Mark Chilton, who announced yesterday that he, too, was interested in the seat. He spoke yesterday with WCHL's Rand Northam. Here's part of their conversation.
With Ellie Kinnaird's retirement announcement this past Sunday, I've been considering the possibility for the last couple of days and have decided to put my name forward as a possible person to be appointed to replace Senator Kinnaird. Deeply honor and respect the work that she's done in the state Senate. I would like to not only kind of carry forward that legacy of perfect progressive advocacy, but also to use the position or use the office to be a leader at the state level in helping to organize to regain control of the state Senate, to get the Democratic Party back in charge of the state Senate, so that we can return to the days when North Carolina was a progressive leader in the South.
You posted on social media that there was one bit of final information that you needed to determine whether or not you would fill or file for this seat. What was that last bit of information?
I have some friends and allies who have been longtime supporters of one another, and I needed to just determine whether any of them were so interested in this position that I'd rather sit on the sidelines and let someone else do it. And heard back from the last folks this afternoon.
Want to share any of those names with us?
Not really.
All righty. We're speaking with Carborough Mayor Mark Chilton, who announced today he has filed to fill the seat of Ellie Kinnaird in North Carolina. Senate District 23. Now, one thing that Ellie Kinnaird has said is that she would like to see a female fill her seat once she retired. She said that for years, and while she said that, you know, there are many strong candidates out there, that she would like to see more females in the General Assembly in North Carolina. Any thoughts to that and what she said for the for years now?
Well, I think at this point it's more important for us to focus on the question of how to go about removing Tea Party members from the General Assembly, and hopefully that'll bring a wave of new female members among others into the General Assembly in the future. So, you know, from my perspective, the question is not what a candidate's gender is, but what they're going to do to begin to turn a very bad situation around in our state legislature.
Is this a position that you'd like to hold past this first 6 months of filling the rest of this the seat, or is this something that you'd really just like to focus on the next 6 months?
Well, I would anticipate serving for a number of years, My goal would be to at least be there long enough to see the party through the stage of turning around control of the state Senate, so that we can begin to undo the harm that the Tea Party has done to our state.
Carborough Mayor Mark Chilton speaking with Rand Northam yesterday. Mark Chilton putting in his name for consideration to replace Ellie Kinnaird on the state Senate. He's one of four who have done that already. The other three are State House member Valerie Fouché, former State House member Alice Bordson, who represented Alamance County for 10 years until the beginning of this year when she stepped down, and author Amy Tiemann, who has been active in Moral Monday protests. She writes on parenting and child safety on her online blog. She's also published many, many articles and books. So four names right now to be considered for that seat. That's the latest from the race to succeed Ellie Kinnaird. Also taking place locally last night, the final meeting of the Rogers Road Task Force. The plan was originally to have a final draft of recommendations in place for providing sewer services to the neighborhood, but there was a snag. The group has to deal with the looming Environmental Protection Agency investigation and the claims of racial discrimination by the Orange County Planning Department toward the neighborhood. We heard from Michelle Johnson earlier this hour. Carborough Alderman has been active with the task force, saying that there are still two plans on the table, a more extensive one and a less extensive one for sewer coverage. So still no final decision on that, and still a lot more to say. Joining us now to say a little bit about last night's meeting, the assistant county manager of Orange County, Michael Talbert, who was there last night. Michael, thank you for joining us. And what can you tell us about what went down at the meeting last night?
Good morning. I think the meeting was very productive last night. The task force generally confirmed some preliminary recommendations they had already made and agreed to. They added one to that last night, so they have a total of seven recommendations that will be going to not only the county commissioners, but to the Assembly of Governments in November.
Where does the county stand in terms of its ability to act, considering the EPA investigation is still ongoing? I know that's still kind of up in the air.
We've been advised by council to basically put the sewer discussion on hold at this point, with no action and no contemplated action by our board until we hear back from the EPA in terms of the results of their investigation.
Do you know what the time frame is going to be on that? Can you even begin to guess how long that might take?
I really can't even speculate on that. It's their investigation, it's their timeline, and they haven't shared any of that information with us.
When we spoke to Michelle Johnson earlier this hour, she said that obviously the process has been frustrating, especially in the last couple of months. There was a sewer plan on the table. It looked like everybody was on the same page and action was going to happen, and then this EPA investigation comes up, and of course it was frustrating for her, and she said, of course, it's going to be frustrating, especially for the people who live in the community. But how frustrating is it for you as a representative of Orange County to suddenly have your hands tied by this thing?
Well, the task force has been meeting on this issue for almost 2 years, and it's been a fairly long process, but it's been very cooperative. The local governments have all been willing and anxious to move forward. So, it's a little frustrating to have everything put on hold, but this is not a new issue, and it didn't just come up yesterday. We've been dealing with this for a number of years. And whatever solution is, I hope it can be permanent and we can move forward.
So what, if anything, is the next step? There's an Assembly of Governments meeting coming up on November 21st. Michelle Johnson was talking about that earlier this hour. But between now and then, what is the county planning on doing, or what can the county plan on doing, given the situation with the EPA?
From the county commissioner's perspective, I think all they will do is accept the report from the task force and take their attorney's advice and not have any discussions about the sewer issue at this point. However, they have moved forward with the community center, and that's in the planning process and getting ready to be bid and go under construction within the next 3 months.
All right, and then we're speaking with Michael Talbert, by the way, Orange County Assistant Manager. And final question, obviously things are still sort of on hold right now because of the investigation, but how confident are you that this will end once the investigation is resolved and the county is able to move forward again? How confident are you that we'll come back around to an agreement and get a sewer system in place?
I think that's up to the elected officials. I don't have a vote, unfortunately, and it will depend on the cooperation of the three jurisdictions, Carrboro, Chapel Hill, and Orange County. And I know it's high on everyone's priority list, but getting cooperation from three boards sometimes is difficult.
All right, Michael Talbert, Assistant County Manager at Orange County. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
All right, 7:42 is the time. Thanks again to Michael Talbert and earlier this hour, Michelle Johnson, who joined us at the beginning of this hour to talk about the task force meeting again. Last meeting of the task force was last night. There is an Assembly of Governments meeting again on November 21st, a few months away, where the issue will come up again. Of course, Orange County's hands sort of tied by this ongoing EPA investigation, so a lot more to say and a lot more to do on this issue in the weeks and months to come. 7:42 is the time here at WCHL Studios. We've got the commentators coming up next. A lot more to cover this hour. We've got the commentators coming up next after this, and then traffic and weather together beyond that.
Orthopedic injuries can make even the smallest movements difficult. That's why UNC Orthopedics has made it even easier to get the care you need. Many of our services are located in a convenient facility on Highway 54 in Chapel Hill. The same exceptional care is available in sports medicine, total joints, bone health, orthopedic prompt care, and our fragility fracture program. For information, visit uncortho.org.
He scores!
Big news for Canes fans. Diamonds Direct Crabtree has been selected as the official jeweler of the Carolina Hurricanes. Hey, it's John Forsley, play-by-play voice of the Canes. Very excited to make this announcement. Our staff, coaches, and players join me in inviting you to celebrate this fantastic new partnership with the Triangle's premier jewelry destination. Diamonds Direct Crabtree is the obvious choice for this honor. No other jewelry store even comes close in diamond selection, quality, or value. Anyone getting engaged in the Triangle knows Diamonds Direct dominates the bridal jewelry market. But it's more than just business. Diamonds Direct Crabtree is a great corporate citizen. They're always helping out area charities, getting involved in worthy causes. At the Hurricanes, we partner with quality companies and quality people. And that's why Diamonds Direct Crabtree was chosen. So join me in celebrating as we welcome Diamonds Direct Crabtree as the official jeweler of the Carolina Hurricanes. On Glenwood, outside Crabtree Valley Mall, across from Fleming Steakhouse.
What most people see as their golden years, some people see as their golden opportunity. To stay active, to travel, to begin a new chapter. If you're over 60 and young at heart, we invite you to explore the Cedars of Chapel Hill in the vibrant, multi-generational Metamont community. We understand that you want things taken care of, even though you don't need to be taken care of. The Cedars offers you all the independence and financial benefits of owning your own home without all the hassles. We'll handle everything so you can pursue other goals. And more importantly, you can enjoy the peace of mind that comes from having a continuing health care plan in place should you need it. Retirement is no longer a 5 or 10 year plan. People live longer, and this next phase of your life is a journey unto itself. We'll be with you every step of the way. Call 919-259-7000 to learn more about life at the Cedars. That's 259-7000. Life has been good to you. At the Cedars, it gets even better.
7:45 here at WCHL Studios. Before we get to the commentators, we've got a gift card to give away. August is here, and we're feeling generous. All month long, we're giving away gift cards every single day on the morning news to some of your favorite local restaurants, including 411 West, Buns, Dickie's Barbecue, Elmo's Diner, Glass Half Full, Mez, Page Road Grill, Spanky Squids, and Tobacco Road Sports Cafe. Great restaurants all. You can win a gift card to one of those places. All you have to do is visit WCHL's Facebook contest page and submit your entry anytime during the month of August. We pick a winner every day, and today's winner is Michael Posinki of Durham. Congratulations to you. I've got a glass bowl here that is full of gift cards. Michael, I'm drawing one out right now, and you have won. Oh, you're the big winner. $100 to Glass Half Full. $100 to Glass Half Full. Congratulations to you, Michael Posinki. $100 winner to Glass Half Full today. We've still got a few more gift cards left here in the bowl. Enter today and make sure you tune into the WCHL Morning News with me for the rest of the week and Ron Stutz for the rest of the month. It's gift card mania all month long here on WCHL.
And now, WCHL's The Commentators.
This is Mike Komovas. We hear and read plenty of negative news every day about the economy, the job market, school budgets, housing foreclosures, gas prices, what's going on in Washington, and more. Just because this is Orange County, many people think we're in good shape. Well, we could be doing much better and a whole lot more. There's 24 hours in a day, 168 hours a week. So what are you doing with your time? Try volunteering. There's many opportunities right here. Here's what some other people are doing. Christine Cotton, Susan Romaine, and Debbie Horowitz created Porch, organizing food drives to restock shelves of local food pantries for giving to families in need. They now have over 150 other volunteers and coordinators and 1,200 neighbors participating in monthly food drives. The Jobs Network of St. Thomas More Catholic Church helps people searching for a job or exploring a new career how to succeed in today's marketplace. On the second and fourth Saturday mornings each month, Richard Jordan, Connie Nigro, Mira Kirsch, Terry DeLeon, Kimberly Spores, Amy Laurenti, Bruce Gingrich, Karen McCall, and others facilitate meetings, lead discussions, provide contacts, and help people network. In the past 3 years, over 350 people have come to these meetings and gotten help. The Interfaith Council is seeking volunteers for client interviewers, greeters, food drivers, and day and evening assistants. The IFC helps homeless people in this area with the Community Kitchen and Community House, the Robert Nixon Free Healthcare Clinic for Homeless, Home Start for Homeless Women and Children, Community Services and Food Pantry, and a Hispanic Outreach. If you volunteer even 1 hour a week, you'll still have plenty of time left. So, what will you do that'll be good news to report? This is Mike Komovas.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators. Local people, local issues. On 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Hello, this is Tony Hall, real estate broker at Tony Hall & Associates. Experience really counts when you hire a broker to sell your most valuable possession, your house. I've been selling homes in Chapel Hill for over 27 years. With this experience under my belt, I am able to get your home sold for the most money and in less time. Contact me today, 919-933-8500 or TonyHallAssociates.com. At Tony Hall & Associates, we don't just list houses, we sell them.
Here's what a typical service department sounds like on Sundays.
But not at Crown Honda of South Point. We're open 11 to 5 on Sundays. No one else does that. No more early morning drop-offs or rushing after work with the kids. We work around your schedule. And you can always count on Crown Honda of South Point for the best deal. Like zero down and just $259 a month on a 2013 Honda Accord LX. For service beyond the sale. Crown Honda of South Point. Now with service on Sundays.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Most of us don't get to work at home in our PJs. If traffic and a commute are part of your daily routine, let us make that part of your day a little more enjoyable. Stop by Cruisers and enjoy a fresh brewed coffee and fresh baked biscuit in the morning, or a refreshing fountain drink with chewy ice, a hot dog, or a snack to end your day. Cruisers has four commuter-friendly area locations at Chapel Hill North, Glen Lennox, Powell Place, and Briar Chapel.
Cruisers, good to go.
All right, 7:50 is the time. Time now for a quick look at traffic and weather together. This traffic report brought to you by Southern Season. Get a taste of tailgating this Saturday in the parking lot from 11 to 4 for delicious $1.50 sliders and special savings on deli sides. It's at University Mall in Chapel Hill or online at southernseason.com. Now with traffic, Rachel Nash.
Good morning. Good news. No accidents to report at this time on I-40, 15501, NC-54, or the Durham Freeway. But if you do see anything throughout your morning commute, you can call and report a traffic problem to me in the newsroom. Call the number 919-967-8363. Or you can tweet us at WCHL and be a WCHL road warrior. But if you do so, we ask that you do it safely.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Moving right along to your weather report. This one brought to you by Tobacco Road Sports Cafe, immersed in the East 54 community, where you can book your private dining party from 10 to 300 people in one of five different private dining rooms. Tobacco Road Sports Cafe at East 54. Foggy out there, so be careful if you're driving around. Otherwise, not bad in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Hillsboro. 70 degrees and partly cloudy. It's going to be partly cloudy today with highs getting up into the upper 80s, back to the heat. We've got a slight chance of rain later on this afternoon. Nothing too bad, though. Overnight lows down to the upper 60s tonight with a 20% chance of rain continuing. And then a 30% chance of rain tomorrow to end the week. That's mostly going to be in the late afternoon. Otherwise, a nice day. Highs around 90. And that will give way to a beautiful weekend. Partly sunny to mostly clear skies on Saturday and Sunday. Highs in the lower 80s. Slight chance of rain on Saturday morning. Otherwise, beautiful. 7:51 is the time, and that brings us to my favorite time of the day, Wayne Pond's Word of the Day, brought to you as always by Franklin Street Realty, and of course by the man himself, Dr. Wayne Pond, joining us by phone right now. Wayne, how's it going?
Hey, Aaron, I got a dandy for you this morning.
Oh,
here,
good.
Now. We're gonna
I don't know how you can top circumbendibus, but...
Well, I don't know. Let's reach for the stars, shall we? Let's reach for the stars.
All right.
Here's a word that will take you back to the history of the Soviet Union.
Ooh.
As I understand it, this is a term that originated in the 1930s or 40s. Let's see if you've ever heard this word, Aaron. The word of the day is Stakhanovite. Stakhanovite.
Well, that's topped circumbendibus.
Well, at least we're paralleling it, aren't we?
All right, yes.
All
definitely.
Right, S is in son or Sam, S-T-A-K-H-A-N-O-V, is in Victor, I-T-E, Stakhanovite, S-T-A-K-H-A-N-O-V-I-T-E, Stakhanovite. This is both a noun and an adjective. It's all about Soviet industrial workers who are afforded extra recognition and special privileges for being particularly productive. You up on this word here, pal?
I am now.
There's an ugly rumor that Stakhanovism somehow or other invaded American radio. Do you think that's possible?
Well, I've never been accused of being productive, so...
I wasn't talking about you.
Oh, okay. Well, that was good. That's
all
good.
All right. Stakhanovism or Stakhanovite. S-T-A-K-H-A-N-O-V-I-T-E.
All right.
It's, again, all about Soviet industrial workers who are awarded extra recognition and special privileges. I love the special privileges part. For being particularly productive.
Now, is this another word that was named after somebody?
I believe his first name was Alexander.
Alexander.
And I will not attempt to pronounce what I'm assuming his last name was, so we'll just let it go at that, shall we?
All right, will do. All right. Thank you so much, Wayne. I have no idea how
treasure.
You're going to top this word tomorrow, but I look forward to seeing
time.
You try.
Give it time. There's a little word to put in your historical treasure box.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Right. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. All right. Stakhanovite. If you can remember the word, the spelling, and the definition, we will give you a chance to call in an hour from now. Give us the word, the spelling, and the definition. You'll win a $10 gift card to Cruisers. Wayne Pond's Word of the Day, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? still got a lot to get through. It's time now for the clean joke of the day, and for that, we turn to Ron Stutz.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Ron Stutz. Lawrence Stafford just walked into the room.
Howdy.
How old am I?
I said howdy.
Oh, howdy. I'm doing fine.
A rude question. You never ask anyone how old they are. And we all know you just celebrated your
39th birthday. Yeah.
Sorry, 39th. That's right, 39th.
You underestimate me. I've gotten older, right?
Don't look a day after 30.
In front of your very eyes.
That's right.
Oh, boy. What do you got today? Hope it's not one of those long lists.
No, it's not. My mind is still reeling from the Mae McClendon pop quiz.
Long list designed to embarrass Ron.
Exactly. This joke is about an elderly couple.
Okay.
And it's called 50-50.
All right.
A young man saw an elderly couple sitting down to lunch at McDonald's.
Uh-huh.
He noticed that they had ordered only one meal and an extra drink cup.
Right.
As he watched, the gentleman carefully divided the hamburger in half, counted out the fries, one for him, one for her, until each had half of them.
Right.
Then he poured half of the soft drink into the extra cup and set that all in front of his wife. The old man then began to eat his half, and his wife sat watching, with her hands folded in her lap. Mm-hmm. The young man decided to ask if they would allow him to purchase another meal for them,
right,
so that they didn't have to split theirs, I guess, trying to be a good Samaritan.
Uh-huh.
The old gentleman said, "Oh, no, we've been married 50 years, and everything has always been and will always be shared 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
The young man then asked the wife if she was going to eat, and she replied, "In a moment, sonny, it's his turn with the teeth."
Oh, God. Thank you so much.
It was the only joke I could think of to clear your mind from the Mae McClendon quiz.
Oh, man. That's terrible. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Chew on that, folks.
No.
This is Gerald Remoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
We've honored a lot of firefighters here at WCHL as hometown heroes, and indeed they are. We call on Dace Bergen of the Chapel Hill Fire Department to tell you all about another one.
Well, Jerry Boone came to work for us about 10 years ago. He's currently a captain with the fire department, and he's our logistics officer, which means that he keeps our trucks working, our equipment working, and anything that we need in terms of support. And he does that tirelessly. He works many extra hours to make sure that everything's up and running the way it should. He's just put in a lot of time over the past, it's been about 2 years now that he's been in this position.
In addition to all the things he does with the Chapel Hill Fire Department, Jerry Boone is a nice guy to be around.
He's a very nice guy. He's pretty gentle. He's got a good sense of humor, and he's very intelligent.
Jerry Boone is one relentless and tireless firefighter.
It's obvious that he has a huge love for it. In addition to working for us full-time, he also, the last I've talked to him about it, he was working part-time at another fire department and also volunteering at a fire department where he lives.
Wow, that's amazing. So he's with three different fire departments.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's always positive and sets a great example for other firefighters. Jerry Boone is always focused on the task at hand.
He has a very can-do attitude, and he's always totally focused on the goal. So whatever needs to be done, he's willing to do to ensure that that it's taken care of.
He's the captain with the Chapel Hill Fire Department. His name is Jerry Boone, and he's today's WCHL hometown hero. Jerry, thanks for all you do.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
Oh, it's a busy news day here in Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Thanks again to Michael Talbert and Michelle Johnson for joining us earlier this hour to talk about the Rogers Road Task Force. Obviously, much more to say on that in the days and weeks and months to come. One final look at your weather report before CBS News. This one brought to you by Glass Half Full. Glass Half Full, the friendly, optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop right in the heart of downtown Carrboro. Good food, fine wine, lots of fun, too. It's all online at glasshalffullcarrboro.com. 70 degrees now in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Hill. Hillsboro. Partly cloudy out there. Not too bad weather-wise, but there is some fog still in the area, so be on the lookout for that. Partly sunny today with highs in the upper 80s. Slight chance of rain later on. That'll carry over into the evening. Lows tonight in the upper 60s. And then partly sunny tomorrow. 30% chance of rain. Highs around 90.
Ron Stutz in the morning. Progressive talk all day. This is 97.9 FM. WCHL. Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel.
Here's the equation. Commerce plus social equity plus environmental stewardship. In Chapel Hill, it all equals community. Chapel Hill.